Kind of fast, kind of not. Either way, always running or talking about it. Welcome to the Kind of Fast podcast, powered by Upward Running. Let's get into it.
Hello, happy Thanksgiving, and welcome back to another episode of the Kind of Fast podcast, the show where we talk running, real life, and everything in between.
So whether you're a brand new runner and you're taking on your first 5K here real soon, maybe even at a turkey trot this week, or you're a fun runner that's chasing down that big next PR, this podcast is for you. We share stories. We have training tips. We're going to give you some encouragement and plenty of laughs along the way, including, you know, what name is Claire going to mispronounce this week?
Calling me out. We are going to shake things up a little bit today. Since it is Thanksgiving week and we're about to launch into the holidays, we're taking a step back and we're going to talk about what running has taught us to be grateful for or thankful for.
Yep. And then don't worry, we still have the normal what does that even mean segment. And so for everyone that's 40 and up, this one's going to be really good for you.
And we are going to put someone to the test with Thanksgiving trivia, and that someone is Travis, but it can also be you because our challenge to you is to try to answer the trivia question correct before Travis does.
Yeah, I'm not the greatest at trivia, but I do happen to know running a little bit, so maybe I'll be okay at these.
We'll see. Time will tell. Of course, we've got the news because it's one of my favorite segments. We have an update, actually, about one of the runners we talked about on a previous podcast. We're also going to talk about one of the toughest ultra marathons in the world, and it's going to be great.
Yep. So grab that leftover piece of pumpkin pie, lace up those shoes, get thankful, and let's jump into our first segment here.
All right. I know you guys hear that drum roll, and that can only mean one thing. It is time for our segment, What Does That Even Mean? This week's word is master's runner. And no, that is not for someone who has actually mastered running.
Yes, that's a great way of putting it, because it could be your first time running, and you could be a master, right?
Max, you yes. know, when you put it that way, it sounds really cool.
So tell us what a master's is.
Okay, so a master's runner is basically for anyone over the age of 40. Now, there are several different segments to that. So master's is 40 plus. There's a grand master's, which is 50 plus. And apparently, there is a super master's for anyone who is 60 plus.
Yeah, that's a new term for me, but the trusty Google told you that. Is that right?
You know, everything you find on the internet is true, right?
I could see how that would be the case, because those that are running over 60 years old, I mean, that's a great feat. And you want to highlight those that are doing the best at that kind of age group there.
I would feel really cool if I had a title of a supermaster.
Yeah. Or even grandmaster sounds true. Really cool there. So, yeah. What happens most of the time in these races is they actually pull you out of the results. These are your top three finishers in these ones. And so it was a race that I ran last year, I think it was. Maybe it was the year before. And so technically, I would have been the sixth place masters, but they pulled the top three masters out as if it were their own race, and I became third in my age group, although technically sixth in my age group. Does that make sense?
Wait, that's kind of cheating, though.
Well, that's how they do it kind of with your top three overall as well. So true. They pull them out of the results and they go, all right, well, who, then they go age group awards after that. So it can work to your advantage if you're in the 40s, 50s, or maybe even 60s as it relates to this.
Wait, was this the race you won like money for winning?
Yeah. So I can't remember if it was that race or not. It was either that race this year or that race the previous year.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Fun fact. Oh, speaking of fun facts, actually research shows, you know, from all the Googling I did, research shows that runners age 40 and older represent more than 50% of marathon finishers.
Yeah, that makes sense. And really, most of the time when you go to a local road race, the hardest age groups to win are in the 40s. You know, that those are the ones that have the most people participating in it. And you have random fast people at those age groups as well. And so it can be easier to kind of place well in, say, 35 to 39, as opposed to 40 to 44 a lot of times. It just happens to be that way. A lot of people hit that 40-year age mark. I'm 44 myself. And they go, all right, I got to get myself back in shape, or you know, try something new or try to achieve a new goal. And so running is a place a lot of people turn to for that.
Interesting. It makes sense, though, when you look at the numbers. I was also doing research, and the research showed that performance decline with age is actually smaller than you expect, at least until you get to 70 years old. So a study that Runner's World magazine did said that among track athletes age 50 to 75, performance declined by less than 2% per year.
Which is good. Right there, I know there's a lot of things out there talking about weightlifting can help slow down that decline per year as well. But running, anything that gets you out moving, gets your blood pumping, gets you in better shape is going to decrease the amount of decline that you have as you go on. And, you know, age is something that none of us can outrun for sure. But the better we can move and try to push our bodies, the better we will be in the long run, I think.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to change things up this week. Since it's Thanksgiving week, we have to change things up. We are going to do Thanksgiving trivia before the news. We're going to start out right now.
Oh, so it's not necessarily running trivia.
No.
Oh, man. So no. I am in trouble here.
Okay,
all right.
But it's Thanksgiving-themed running trivia. So there are running questions on here, but not the type of running questions you would imagine.
Okay.
Listeners, try to answer these before Travis does. And if you get them right, let us know in the comments. So we're going to start off with number one. There's not too many. There's only seven. Don't cheat. What city hosts the oldest continuously run turkey trot in the U.S.? A, Detroit. B, Buffalo. Or C, Charlotte?
I'm going to go Detroit.
The answer is actually Buffalo, New York.
Okay.
So fun fact, the YMCA turkey trot there started in 1896 and has been run literally every year since.
But great trivia there.
I know.
Have not heard of the Buffalo turkey trot. No.
I haven't either. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Hot take. If you are running a turkey trot, does it have to be run on Thanksgiving Day to be considered a turkey trot?
I do believe so.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
Who else would run? Would someone run a Saturday turkey trot?
I saw a turkey trot from last week. I saw pictures of it on social media this week. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not a turkey trot. That's the 5K.
That's just a normal race.
Okay.
On the Saturday before Thanksgiving.
I digress. Yeah. Moving on to number two. How many runners took part in turkey trots last year in the United States? A, 200,000, B, 500,000, or C, over 1 million?
I am going to go with the trusty answer C, 1 million.
You got that right. Okay. Good job. So according to Run Sign Up, which is a super popular race sign up platform, they recorded over 1.1 million finishers.
Yeah, that's not all of them. That's a subset of the total number of people. So yeah, that's surprising.
The turkey trot that we run in, they don't use Run Sign Up either. So that's like, what, 500 people not accounted for?
Yeah, probably so. Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay, number three. This is true or false. True or false. Thanksgiving Day is considered the biggest road race day of the year.
True.
You got that right too.
All right.
It says no other single day has as many race participants, which makes sense. And this just points back to the whole, it's not a turkey trot if it's not run on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I wonder what number two would be. I wonder if it's like some type of random fall Saturday that includes maybe it's the first weekend of November, so it would include New York City Marathon and all the other races that's happening the first Saturday of November, or same thing for Chicago, kind of mid-October Saturday, and then all of the other races that's happening throughout the year. I wonder what that would be.
It's either got to be fall, or what about Christmas or New Year's?
I don't think as many people
run on New Year's.
Mm-mm.
I do. I'm one. I'm part of that percentage.
I mean, a lot of...
In a race.
A lot of runners do, but I don't...
Like sanctioned race.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right on the fall. I should bring that answer next week.
Yeah,
back for more.
See if you can figure that one out.
Okay. Number four. Some turkey trots give out this instead of a medal. Sounds right up your alley. What is it? A, a scoop of stuffing. B, a frozen turkey. Or C, a Christmas tree.
All right, I have seen B, so I'm going with that.
It is B. It is. I really tried to mess you up on this one because we just talked about there's a local race where if you hold the Christmas tree for the duration of the 5K, you get to bring it home. So I was really hoping I stumped you with that.
I haven't seen that one. That's great.
Okay, number five. Which Thanksgiving side dish is packed with potassium, making it easier for runners? Now, you got this one's easy.
Sweet potatoes.
Mashed potatoes.
Oh.
Yep.
How about that?
Close enough. So they're loaded with potassium. Fun fact.
Well, my sweet potatoes are loaded with brown sugar. So there's that.
All right. Number six, true or false? Apple pie usually has more carbs than pumpkin pie.
I will agree. I would think that they have the apple pie has the crust on top too and on the bottom, which would be more carb heavy. Am I right?
Yep.
Yes.
That's correct. That I put that one in there just for Steven, my husband. Apple pie is his favorite. So, Okay. Number seven, which costume item do you see the most at turkey trots? A, turkey hats, B, tutus, or C, pilgrim costumes?
Molly Seidel, the professional runner that we like to comment on sometimes, she is famous for wearing a full turkey outfit on turkey trots and blowing people away because obviously she's an Olympian. And so I've seen her do that on multiple Thanksgiving turkey trots. So I wish that was one of them. I'll go pilgrim as my answer.
No. That was wrong. I'm so shocked you didn't get that. What it's turkey it? Hats.
Turkey hats.
Yeah. Gotcha. There's like a million of them at the turkey trot we do, at least.
Well, they're behind me, so I don't see them. So let's go.
And on that note, let's talk about the news. We're actually going to kick today's new segment off talking about an ultra marathon, but it gets kind of crazy. So the ultra marathon we're going to talk about is called the Badwater 135 or 135, however you want to say it. Mm-hmm. And how Hollywood is actually making a movie about it. Fun fact, this is actually the first actual movie that's made about the race. Everything else has been a documentary.
Yeah, this is when you think of the big ultra races in the U.S., this one comes to mind. This is a big one that people are nuts to do, but tell us more about it.
So 135, as you can imagine, it is 135 miles. I mean, really just spot on with their marketing there. I mean, so creative. And it's through Death Valley. It happens in July and it gets to 120 to 130 degrees.
And that's the crazy part about this is like, it's in Death Valley, hottest place in the U.S., maybe one of the hottest places in the world, I think, in fact. And they decided to run a 135-mile run out there on top of it.
Yeah, which is crazy. I mean, their shoes, the bottom, their soles literally melt because it is so hot. They're making the movie a horror movie.
Okay. Well, I think that's probably pretty easy to do given the craziness of it and all the crazy things that can go wrong. But I'll be interested to see how they actually pull that off.
It's being directed by an ultra runner herself, actually, Victoria Negri.
Sure.
I mean, that was my first name all podcast. I think I did pretty good so far. Well,
I don't know the correct, so I can't fix it today if you got it wrong.
Okay, today it's going to be Victoria Negri. She is an ultra marathoner, and she actually started this. She's running multiple of these races, but the whole idea comes from her dad, actually. Her dad suffered a massive stroke, and it took away his ability to run. So this is kind of about her living through that and using her trauma through that to make this movie, which is really cool.
I love that.
I know. Shailene Woodley. Do you know who that is? Actor?
No.
She's going to be in it.
Okay.
She's in a few Netflix shows, but I'm actually kind of excited about it. Apparently, in this race, all the runners wear white. So naturally, the bad guy in the horror movie is in all white and is chasing someone while they're running. Mm. That's terrifying, actually.
Any knowledge about when this might come out?
No, I looked everywhere for this, but I couldn't find it.
Okay. All right. What's next?
Okay. Next up, I don't know if you guys remember, a few weeks ago, we talked about a girl named Allie Truitt. She suffered from a terrible shark attack in 2023, lost her leg to that, and she set out to run the New York City Marathon. And so since that recently passed, I thought, what better way to update you guys than to talk about it?
I do remember the story. Really cool story. And she was raising a ton of money for the race. So I assume that she did the race and was successful. Is that right?
She was successful. It was such a fun story. It actually got a ton of news coverage. So I enjoyed looking at all the different avenues to gather the story for you guys. But she ran with her mom, which is extremely special, and 13 of her other family members and friends. And what makes it even cooler is that she actually ran with the friend who helped save her life during the shark attack. So this friend helped fight off the shark, tried to get Allie to the boat, and literally like created a tourniquet to help save her life.
So, yeah, I mean, the thing that sticks out to me is New York City must have given them a special exemption to get in, because you're not getting 13 of your friends in on the lottery, right? Like, is that weird that my running mind goes to that? Like, how'd you get in the New York City Marathon with all your friends? Hold up.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. That's a good thought. I mean, it worked. She did. A few of the comments she made was that it was hard because her blade, she calls it a blade, kept slipping off because of all the sweat. And so she kept having to stop and reattach her leg, which is something that, I mean, I don't have to do, and I cannot tell you how much that I take my legs for granted until I read stories like these.
Yeah, that's you could see, you know, that much pounding, that many steps, you know, a natural sweat that's going to happen. And New York, lots of terrain. So you got some ups and some downs, and you have pavement and concrete and bridges and, you know, all the things in between. So yeah, that would be something that would be a challenge.
She actually mentioned how slippery it was going through the aid stations and all the water cups that are on the ground, because that is extremely slippery and sticky. And I sometimes struggle going through that. I mean, I cannot imagine how hard it really would be.
Oh, for sure. A friend of mine rolled his ankle at Chicago this year on, it was a in one of the aid stations on a bunch of cups that had been discarded, and he felt like it was a gel or something like that that was underneath some of those, so he stepped and rolled his ankle, and it ended his Chicago race this past year. So that can happen to everyone. Yeah.
So
and, unless you're in Paris and you don't have cups anymore, right? Like, there's that.
I mean, that's one plus to the Paris race, right?
No, I'm still not getting behind that.
Well, Allie ended up raising over $200,000 for her nonprofit that raises money to help young girls and women afford their own blades and prosthetics. So,
yeah, over $200,000. Amazing. And if you were interested to know, that's the nonprofit charity Stronger Than You Think. That's the name of it, so you can go check it out.
All right, we are going to get into our deep dive this week, which is actually what we're thankful for running.
I love this subject, and you know, it's a short week for us, and we put some effort into the deep dive and all that this week, but this week we can just kind of talk about some of the things that we're thankful for. And we're thankful for our listeners out there, for sure, and that we have this great platform to be able to sit here and chat about running on a weekly basis. So we're thankful for y'all and anyone that leaves us comments or questions or things like that. So we'll say that before we even get started, and therefore you can't use one of those as your top three answer here. But that's what we're doing. Top three things we're thankful for through running. Is that right?
Yep, that's right. And I'm going to kick us off. We're going to kind of go tag team, I'll start, and then you follow, and then we're going to go top three each. Okay, number one is the ability to participate in activities with the kids. I'm so thankful that God has blessed me with a body who is able to run and can keep up with the kids. Because at this point, I mean, Jeremiah is 12 years old. I actually have to work hard to beat this child right now.
Yep. Do it while you can. He's athletic and quick, and it won't last for long, I think.
I still have him. Yeah. I still have him right now. But running keeps me active enough to play with them and not just watch them in multiple different avenues. For example, we coached a soccer team, and part of practice was the scrimmage. I am terrible at soccer, but I was able to get out there and try at least to participate with these girls and run around with them. I know so many people who don't have the luxury of doing that, and I never want to take for granted the ability to just be there with the kids and be present.
That's, I love that. And that's not one of my top three, but I think it's a great one to think about because I coach several of my daughters, you know, teams out there, get out there and try to show them how you're supposed to work around a screen yesterday in basketball, like work around a screen, take the shot off the elbow. Like that was what we were talking about yesterday, or, you know, trapping people yesterday in basketball practice, and all that takes some level of fitness to be able to get out there and do that. So I'm thankful for that as well. All right. For my number one, since it's Thanksgiving week, I'm thankful that running helps me keep my weight down. And so I think when it, you know, just it comes to mind this week when we're going to sit around and just eat all weekend long. And then there's great football games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week. You know, we're going to be sitting around. And so for me, I've been 30 pounds heavier than I am now. I would love to be 20 to 30 pounds lighter than I am today. I don't think that is in the cards for me in the future right away or anything like that. I'm not willing to make the sacrifices that it would take to get there, I guess is the way to do it, to way to say that. But just when I'm logging my regular miles, my 5 days a week type miles, that helps me stabilize my weight. And I'm happy, confident in myself and all those things at the current weight that I'm at. And so that would be one thing that I'm thankful for running about. And that all started with me picking up running again in 2018.
I love that. I love that. Thank you for sharing. I wouldn't have even thought to put that on there, but it's so true. It's so true.
Yeah, especially when you have jobs where you sit in front of the computer all the time and you're not really getting up and you're moving or anything like that. It is a hobby that does get you moving, gets the steps in automatically, all that.
I love it. Okay, number two for me is that I am so thankful for running because it really turned, for me, running was my escape, but now it's turned into so much more than that. It's not just going out and running miles. It's the community that is behind, I mean, really every step. It's the community that keeps me going, truly.
So tell us about the communities that you are referring to as it relates to this.
Yeah, so there are several different communities. Of course, we have the Upward Running Run Club community in our app. I can get on there, share runs. But more than that, I can get on the app and see other people posting and help encourage them. And it's come to the point where when Greg uploads his run, I'm like, oh, I need to go check and see what Greg did today. Or Greg was having hamstring problems. Let me go log in and see if everything's okay. So that's one avenue. Another is local run clubs. We are fortunate to live in an area where there are so many different run clubs and communities. I'm pretty sure we could find one every day of the week if we wanted to go.
Yeah, in Spartanburg, where Upward is, there is one 7 days a week in this area for sure.
Yep. Another one is, this sounds so silly, but Strava, where you can upload pictures and you get kudos. It's basically social media for runners and walkers. It's just being surrounded by like-minded individuals. It's great. I haven't found a community similar to the running community yet.
But you have a couple like friends that you like to run with as well. Any of those you want to shout out as part of this?
Shout out Margot. I actually texted her yesterday and said, hey, I want to run in the morning, but it's got to be at 5 a.m. You want to go? And within 2 seconds, she's like, yep, see you there.
Yeah. See, that's where you get. That's what you get with running. I ran with Rufus, a guy here in town on Saturday. We put some miles in together and got to really know him a little bit more and, you know, how he moved up here from Florida and is chasing big goals and running 100-mile weeks like a crazy man. And so it was great to that's another thing that running gives you is the opportunity to just deep dive on, you know, who different people are, what's going on in their life, and try to find the parallels to your own life and be encouraging to them along the way.
Exactly. Because you got to think, when you're out there running 15, 16 miles, you talk. I mean, you talk about everything.
There was one point in the story where I go, it's kind of a long story, but I'll tell you what else we got to do, you know, like, so yeah, it was just part of the run on Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, well, shout out to Rufus. I know he's going after BQ, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I do have a challenge for our listeners out there. So you can kind of incorporate this into your daily life is think of a step that you could take towards sharing the hobby, whether that be logging into the Upward Running app and making your first post in the community group, or inviting a friend to run, or I mean, I would even go as far to say is call someone on your run. I mean, you might not actually be running beside them, but you're still running with them in essence.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to be a certain fitness level to be able to do that. When I first started back running, it would have been a little too heavy breathing, I'm sure, to be able to do that. But I'll do that now. Like, seriously, people will call me and it's after hours or something for work, but they've got a work type question, and I'll pick up from my headphones and I'll go, hey, I'm running. If that's bothersome, I'll call you back when I'm done. But if it's not, let's just talk now. I'm just on an easy run. So I'll do that from time to time.
I love that. You've called me with a really good idea a few times for the podcast, actually. You're like, hey, I'm on a run, but I was thinking.
What an amazing segue, because my number two thing that I'm kind of thankful for with running is it gives me time to think, ponder, innovate, figure out things. Like, I feel like I got all these inputs that come into my head all the time, and it helps me kind of straighten those things out and put them in order. My old boss, Nathan Holm, who used to work here at Upward Sports, and we went through a bunch of changes at Upward maybe 6-7 years ago. And he would say, he just loved it when I walked in his office first thing in the morning and went, you know, I was thinking on my run this morning. Like, if I started the conversation with that, he's pulling out a pen and paper. Like, he's, all right, let's go. Cause it really just gives me time to think and process. And maybe it's in the quiet of the run. Most of the time I've got something in my headphones and it's, you know, some type of leadership book or an innovation book or just random music that I'm listening to or something. And somehow the brain just kind of is able to shuffle through those things and put together different ideas. And you're right. That is when certain things come to my head. And sometimes I've got to call that person, like I called you once or twice, and be like, I got an idea. What about this? Because if I don't write it down or if I don't tell someone, I'll lose it. And so that's happened many times.
Okay. For everyone who might not know, I have run into this. That was a funny pun. I've run into this before too. And did you know you can tell Siri, hey, Siri, write this down in my notes, and you can tell Siri your thought, and then it'll be there for you when you're done?
I've not done that.
I did that taking notes during my half marathon, actually, about a sign. I was like, hey, Siri, remind me this sign was hilarious.
That's funny.
I know. I was trying to remember it for the podcast. Ended up not even talking about it, but I love that.
There's been so many times in races where I've been like, I want to remember that. And I never, ever, ever can remember the signs. And people ask me, what signs did you like? And I'm like, I saw 10 that made me laugh and I can't remember a single one of them.
I think that has to be so gratifying for whoever wrote the sign, just to see these runners like absolutely struggling, somewhat hating their life, and just crack a smile at it.
Yeah. One thing I do remember from Columbus, I don't think I've told anybody this one, but I went through a water stop. I drank from the cup. I kind of crushed it up in my hand. And there was like this pretty large trash can, you know, larger than what you would pull out to the street, but not too big. And I'm running along. It's probably 15 feet to my left. And I hook shot this cup straight into it. And like these five people are like, oh, what a shot. What a shot. I just kind of gave them the double finger right there. Like, hey, that's right. That's right. I made that. I'm the athlete. So anyway, that was one of my favorite things from the marathon. I completely forgot about it until just right then.
I love that you just remembered that.
Yeah.
See, get Siri out right now. All right. Last up on my list. I've said this before and I've alluded to it in the few points I've already made, but my overall health and just having the privilege and the capability to run, I recognize that not everybody can just lace up and go outside and go for a run, whether it be to clear your head, if you had a stressful day at work, whatever it is. I am so incredibly thankful and proud of my body to be able to just go out and crush 10 miles.
Yeah, great point. And yeah, I would ditto that. That's a good one there.
I will give our listeners a challenge on your next run. at the end of it, just be thankful. I mean, be thankful. Thank your body. Thank God for giving you the body that you have the ability to run. Even if your run went terrible, you still got out there. You got it done. You checked the box. Be thankful for that.
Yeah, good points there. All right, my last one. I think as a goal-driven person like I am, I'm very thankful that at 44, I still have something I can do in my life that helps me reach for goals on my own. That doesn't require, you know, a team to do it or a group of other people to do it. It's something that I can control myself and I can strive to achieve new things. I can make a plan. I can try to figure out how it goes. I can iterate on that and I can kind of see that through to fruition there. And so for me, as a goal-driven person, I just am very thankful that there's still something in my life that I can utilize that with. And I don't just kind of go through day-to-day life without goals still being part of what I do.
I didn't even think about that. That is such a good one.
Yeah.
Can relate. Can relate. All right, guys. Well, that was our six things each of what we're thankful for. I challenge you guys to take a few minutes and write down today what you're grateful for that running has given you the ability to do.
Yeah, or if you're not moving too much today and some of those spoke to you, start today or start Monday or start in the new year, but get out there, get moving and working towards a goal here real soon.
Speaking of working towards a goal, the turkey trot. What is your goal for the turkey trot?
Oh, I'm not putting much pressure or not putting a time on it. I don't even have to beat last year's time. I'm just going to go out and do a nice, consistent, hard-ish effort for it and make sure I come away with some socks in the end, which is what the top 75 people get at our local Spartanburg turkey trot. How about you?
I also would love to get a pair of socks. 2 years ago, I ran the turkey trot in 38 minutes flat. I would love to be coming in at 36. Okay. We'll see. I think it's totally doable. My average pace was, I think, an 8:05 last time. I think that's so doable.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see.
Well, beware of that mile 4 hill.
I know.
It's a beast.
Oh, if you look at my splits, mile 1, 7:55, mile 2, 7:55, mile 3, 7:55, mile 4, 8 something. I think it was 8:15. I'm like, oh my gosh, there it is.
It's a tough one.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, with that, our time is up. Don't forget that this podcast is powered by Upward Running, a community built to help you run with purpose, stay motivated, and find your people. As always, this journey is more than miles. God is in every step. The good runs, the tough runs, the runs where we may or may not get turkey trot socks. He is with you, he is for you, and he is using this season to grow something deeper in you.
At Upward Running, this is where faith and fitness meet. And we'd love to run with you. You can join us at upwardrunning.com/kindoffast. That's upwardrunning.com/kindoffast. And if you use the code kindoffast, you get 2 weeks free and we get to know that you signed up because you heard about it on the podcast. New feature we are just implementing here at Upward Running is someone from the staff, if you sign up to run with Upward Running, we'll have a welcome consult call with you, kind of make sure that you know where everything is, how everything works, and find out about your goals and kind of put you in a catered plan that's going to get you to meet those things. So we're excited about that, and we'd love to see you be a part of that here as we move into December here. So with that, we'll see you next week.
All right. See ya.
Oh, and Meg and Craig, those are our names this week. If you have not written a review for us, We need one from you. So Meg and Craig need a review.
If your name is Meg or Craig, I'll see you in the reviews.
Bye.
Bye. Are we ready? We both go to fix our hair.
Yeah. Almost made it the whole way. We were crushing it this week.
I know, but I had to have something for the bloopers.